Well, dear church family and dear friends, our focus for today's passage of Holy Scripture comes from those profound words that the Lord Jesus spoke in verse 29 of today's passage of Scripture. And it came in the form of a very simple but yet profound parable. It reads in verse 29, this is the words of the Saviour, "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" And of course, this is true, isn't it? That how can one enter into someone's house and take his goods, as it were, completely spoil his goods like a spoil of war, as it were, unless he first bind and subdue the strong man in the house? This is a universal truth, isn't it? But before we look at the meaning of today's parable, let me just briefly explain the context once again in which it is written in. The Lord Jesus, as per usual, was going around upon his earthly ministry, only doing that which was good. He was performing miracles. He was giving sight again to the blind. He was curing those who were dumb. He was giving them wisdom, as it were. And he was indeed showing that he was the Christ. He was the prophesied Messiah of the world. And he here is the son of David. Here is the one who would come from the family tree and the lineage of Abraham right through to King David, and who would be David's greatest son. This is him. His works say so. He is full of truth and grace. And so he showed indeed that he was the Savior. And the people, of course, said, "This is the son of David. Look at what he's doing. Look at his gracious words. He is unique." And for this, for this he was hated, wasn't he? Because the multitudes really followed him. The poor and needy listened to his words. And so the Pharisees and the religious elite really hated him. As Saul envied David without a cause, so true was the Pharisees. They thought within themselves, "This man's stealing our thunder, as it were. He's making us look bad. He's making us look like hypocrites, as it were. They're taking the people away from us, away from holding to these traditions and these other things." And the problem was, of course, that the self-righteous Pharisees could not deny the miracles which the Lord plainly did in the sight of everyone. And so, dear friends, they did what comes natural to all those who deny the truth. They sought to discredit the truth. They sought to discredit the Lord Jesus' words. They could not deny that he was the Savior. They could not deny that he was a Christ. So they did what every rebel sinner does. They sought to discredit the truth, the Savior. They said, didn't they, in verse 24, "This fellow," and you can almost get the sense of how they said that, with contempt. "This is a great man here. This is Christ who is performing miracles." And yet they base him, don't they? They lower him in the people's eyes, like many people do nowadays. They make him, who is the greatest man, the God-man who's ever existed, they pull him down, as it were. "This fellow," as it were. You can get the sense that their words were full of contempt, full of trying to belittle Christ and his accomplishments, and raise themselves And of course, that's the pride of life, isn't it? That's what people do when they want people to look upon them and to think how great they are. They try to pull other people down to lift up themselves. This fellow doth not cast out devils. And listen to this. But by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. In other words, Jesus is not casting out these devils by the power of Almighty God. No, no. What they were saying is he was in allegiance with the devil. He was doing this by the power of the devil. And friends, what blasphemous words these were of the Savior. And let us take note, dear friends, what lengths men will go to in this life for worldly honors and gain. Let us also make note that Christ does not deny that the devil is a very strong and a very powerful enemy. And the devil, dear friends, has demonic powers, doesn't he? His influence is everywhere. The Lord doesn't deny this. Though, of course, his power is limited. He's on the Lord has him on a chain, as it were. But indeed, in Acts 19:13, the vagabond Jews, those exorcists, demonstrate the power, this power. Of course, to their dismay. I'm not going to go into the particulars. But of course, at this point, Christ then makes such lies told about him. At this point, dear friends, that Christ makes such lies told about him that he did not perform these, that he performed these miracles in the devil's name. Is that, dear friends, why did they do that? Well, they did that to serve the devil's interest, as it were. It would not serve the devil's interest that Christ here says in verse 25, doesn't he? Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. In other words, doing good to needy souls is not in the devil's interest. The devil would not do good to needy souls. And so let this also be a lesson to us, brethren. Where cometh wars and fightings and arguments in families and in churches and in nations? Do they not come from our lust, from our sins, and from the devil who, as it were, stokes up these lusts within us? And so Christ makes the point, doesn't he, that if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against his own kingdom. Satan would not do that. Satan would not do that which is good. He would not further the kingdom of God. He wants to kill and to destroy and cause havoc in the church of Jesus Christ. He does not want to bring life and bring wisdom and open the eyes of the blind. And of course, Christ's words here are also very prophetic as well concerning the desolation and destruction of Jerusalem by the Roman Empire because they had rejected their Messiah. And so, what happens next, dear friends? Well, the Lord's parable here gives us more light to those who will truly hear the words of Christ and will humble themselves. Verse 29 says, "Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house." The house here described is the heart and the soul and the body and mind of every poor sinner that ever did live. That's the house. In Luke's gospel, it is referred to as the palace, as it were. In the New Testament, it talks about the temple being a body. And so the house here being described is the heart and the body and the soul of every poor sinner that's ever come into the world. The strong man here is referring to the devil. He is this powerful, strong enemy of ours. He is the strong man in this parable. And so the strong man's house here is referring to all those who remain unconverted in their sins, under the power and the influence of the devil, just being led by their sins and by their fleshly appetites. They're under the devil's power. But remember, Satan does not work alone, does he? He employs a host of fallen demonic angels in his service to do his bidding for him as well. And dear friends, all of us by nature are under his power. We're born. We're born, as it were, God-haters. We're born at enmity, the scriptures say, against God. David said, didn't he? I was conceived, my mother conceived me in sin. We're born with this natural enmity against God. We are spiritually closed to the things of God. We want to live for ourselves. And dear friends, in order for this strong man, to be cast out, he must be first bound and subdued. And then, and only then, can the house of our soul be utterly transformed and changed. You see, we cannot get Satan, the devil, out of us by our own strength. The devil is far too strong for us. Now, any wise war general will tell you, I don't suppose any of us have met any wise war generals, but any wise war general will tell you that before you engage in any battle, any war, you must first know your enemy. It's not enough to know yourself. It's not enough to know your own strengths. You must know your capabilities and the power of your enemy. And of course, this is true, spiritually speaking, as well. You see, the devil in the Bible is called the prince of the power of the air. His power and influence covers the whole world. He is also called the god of this world for a reason, friends, because he holds the masses captivated by his subtlety and his demonic power and his craftiness and his allurements and temptations and his beauty and his influence. He holds the masses in his power, as it were. Principalities and institutions and rulers and spiritual leaders. Principalities and places in high powers and high places are all under his power. And he has spoiled and corrupted them. He corrupted them. And many of them are led by him, dear friends. Of course, the Lord has allowed this to happen. The Lord is sovereign. But friends, the devil is a formidable enemy. We should never, ever underestimate who the devil is. Our society will laugh at the devil. They'll paint a little picture of a little red devil with horns. They will laugh and make light of him. But the devil, Satan, is a real enemy. That's why we have wars. That's why we have violence. We have all these things because the devil, of course, tempted, didn't he? The first man. The devil, as it were tempted Adam and Eve. And, of course, sin came in because of the fall into the world. The devil has caused so much havoc. He is a powerful enemy. And just think about it. Adam, who was without sin then, who's far more perfect than we are, in a sense, If he could do this to Adam, imagine his effect upon us. And so it's fair to say that the devil is a very formidable enemy, a strong man. And we underestimate his power, dear friends, at our own peril. He is, the Bible describes, as a roaring lion. He goes around devouring those. He is as a lion. He is strong, as it were. He is subtle. He hides in the savanna grass, in the same grass as the animals eat of. He is very subtle. He knows that one day he will be put down as a fierce lion, as a cruel lion. He knows his time is coming in these end times. And so he seeks to cause as much havoc and as much misery as possible, dear friends. This truth makes him more determined to kill and to divide and to cause havoc in the church of Jesus Christ and to spoil every good thing that God has done. However, this strong man, Satan's chief residence, dear friends, is within the heart of every unrepented sinner. His chief residence he takes up is in the heart of every unrepented sinner. This is his war room, as it were. This is where he drafts up his plans, friends. This is where he spies out those weak entry points, those doors that lead into the houses and the palaces and the temples. He spies out those entry points, those weak points, those faults within the hearts of men, within the houses and souls of men, to beguile them so that he can rule over them, as it were. And he knows, dear friends, that every house, every palace has entry points, weak points, points of vulnerability. He knows this. Every little and great sinner, dear friends, every house and palace has weak points, has entry points, and he knows exactly how to beguile us and to how to come in. For the windows of the eyes of the house, he beguiles sinners with the lust of the eyes, doesn't he? And he beguiles by worldly programs and Hollywood ideals and making people envious and coveting such lifestyles and things. We see what he did to David, didn't he? When David committed sin with Bathsheba, dear friends, how alluring he is. We saw what happened with Eve and what he did in the garden. Countless souls, dear friends, have been beguiled by the devil. The devil not only is an incredibly strong enemy, but he also is an incredibly subtle enemy as well. He is a demonic prince. So he uses some palaces, some souls and houses as whited sepulchres, as it were, full of dead man's bones. He will paint and adorn, as it were, the outward of some palaces and houses in brilliant white moral virtues and seeming holiness and religious formalities. He will paint it, as it were, such external things and performances. These things are well pleasing to Satan. He doesn't have a problem with these things. And of course, it makes men trust in the mere acts of formal religion, the mere acts of piety and morality. And so he comes often as an angel of light, doesn't he? He can quite quickly transform from a blaspheming devil, as it were, into a religious, praying, whited devil. And in many houses and palaces, and many of the souls of men, the devil's residence, he rules over souls. He sets up lodging rooms as well, doesn't he? For the sinner to take his ease, and eat and drink and be merry and watch telly. He sets up these lodging rooms in the houses of people. Oh, don't think about the things of Christ and eternity. Just eat and drink and be merry and trifle away the time that God has given you. Don't think about your Maker. Don't think about Christ and the matters of eternity. As long as you keep up the outward performances of religion, that's enough. You see, he is so subtle, dear friends. He is a fallen angel, and so he's far wiser than us, far more subtler than us. And there will be many people, dear friends, who will be laughing and drinking their way straight to hell. Though they be religious, they'll be laughing and drinking their way straight to hell. And such is the devil's, this strong man's craftiness, that he uses all the doors of the house of a sinner, of the heart of a sinner, to rob men of the matters of eternity and the matters of Christ and the soul, the true purpose to which they are made. He is the master door, picklock, as it were. He knows exactly how to pick all those entry points to the door of our hearts, friends. He makes sure to keep the dumb unto salvation. He makes sure to keep the blind's eyes closed to the matters of Christ and eternity. His host, of course, of fallen angels, dear friends, wants to close people off to the things of God. And that's why when we're in the high street and we preach the gospel, we're handing out tracts. I'm good, thanks, I'm good. People won't even look at you. They don't even think about Christ. Why is that? Because the God of this world has blinded them. No, I'm good. I don't. They won't even look at the preacher. They won't even look at the person that's handing out the tract. Why? Because the God, the devil of this world, has blinded people's eyes. Dear friends, he is a strong enemy. On earth is not his foe, dear friends. He makes sure to keep people blind to the matters of Christ, the matters of God, the matters of the Bible, by keeping the five senses, as it were, the doors of a sinner's heart, of the soul, always entertained. If people are always entertained, listening to worldly music, having their eyes upon Hollywood ideals, fashions, and the things of this world, dear friends, with carnal affections and worldly ambitions, he has won his victory. He keeps us. Keeps all of our faculties, our ears, our eyes. He keeps them always. He keeps sinners upon him, upon his gaze, as it were, with the things of the world, doesn't he? He is the ultimate of hell's lobbyists, isn't he? He is the ultimate of hell's lobbyists who says to the sinner, sell your soul like Esau. For fleshly things, for a bowl of pottage, as it were. I'll make you sell your soul. And he does this, dear friends. He is the ultimate of hell's lobbyist. He is the most crafty of politicians, friends. And needless to say that I can go on and on and on and tell you how the devil has fortified and armed himself against the Lord Jesus Christ, against the Word of God, against God's servants. And would you and I be found complicit, aiding and abetting God's enemy? Would we be found complicit? Let us therefore, dear friends, conclude that the strong man mentioned in today's parable by the Lord Jesus Christ is the devil. This is the strong man. The devil is far stronger than man, and being a fallen angel, again, he is far more cunning and wiser than us. We can in no wise, by our own strength, by our own religious doing, cast out the devil within us, as it were. We in our own strength are no match for him. How many millions of souls have tried to take him on by their words, by trying to reform themselves, by saying, I'm a good person, and I will go to church. And I will do all these things. But in the end, they end up going straight back into the world because they find out that the devil's too strong for them. that the temptations and the moments, they're too powerful for them. And indeed, even the most of learned people, look at the Pharisees. Even the most learned people cannot subdue the devil, dear friends. Even a five-star general is not equipped enough to take on, dear friends, the devil. He is woefully inequipped. Well, who can enter into the strong man's house? Into the strong man's house, a man's heart. Who can enter into a man's heart, the strong man's house, and spoil his goods? In other words, and make afresh, and make anew, that which the devil by fraud has stolen from man. Because we're all made in the image of man before the fall. Adam had a relationship, but that relationship has been spoiled by the devil's fraud. The devil, as it were, has thieved us. Dear friends, who can enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? The strong man. Well, friends, I know of only one who is stronger than this strong man. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God, is the only one who can disarm the devil, the strong man, over the power he has, the reign he has over our souls, our bodies, as it were. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world, dear friends. He is the only one that can shine in the darkness. He is the only one that can wake us up to the matters of Christ and eternity. Unlike everyone else, Jesus Christ has overcome our threefold enemy, the devil, the world, and the flesh, our sin. And dear friends, he's done it at what he's achieved at the cross of Calvary. He's accomplished it. The work has done. He has bound the devil, as it were. The seed of the woman, dear friends, has crushed, as our brother said, has put a mighty blow to the head of the devil, has crushed the devil's head at Calvary. Our sin and death has been destroyed, dear friends. The devil has been cast out. The bad rule and government of the soul can be completely transformed in Christ. He is the one that's destroyed the works of the devil, sin and death. He has done this in his person, in giving his holy life for sinners. The work of salvation is complete in Christ. It is finished. Christ has died for sinners so that you and I may say with the publican, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner." I know I'm no match for the devil. I know I cannot take on my own sin. My own righteousness is as filthy rags. I am no match for the world and its allurements and its temptations. I am no match for the flesh, for all these things. They are too strong for me. I fail utterly. God did not come to save the righteous, friends. He came to save sinners. Those who will admit, "I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need one who is stronger than the strong. I need the one who can equip David and take on the satanically inspired Goliath and direct the stone of his salvation into the head of Satan. And so that he will fall down. I need Christ, dear friends. He's the one that's conquered sin and death. He's risen over victory over sin and death. He is the resurrection and the life. He has made a way for me to cast out the devil. The deadlock of sin can be broken. If I by faith take hold upon the Lamb of God, my sins will be put upon him. He will give me his righteousness. He can bound and subdue the devil and cast him out of me. I cannot do this by my own strength. It must be Christ, dear friends. If you and I truly believe, upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, the devil's power over our hearts at once will cease, dear friends. The deadlock of habitual sin broken. And I can remember the day when the Lord saved me, that it was like this huge release. It was like the burden taken off. And I would profess to be a Christian, although I was a nominal Christian, a very worldly one. But I would say I was a Christian, but I knew I wasn't a Christian. But when I truly believed in Jesus Christ, that burden was taken off, because I know it was through the power of Jesus Christ, through His name, that He had cast out the devil. Christ and His Holy Spirit now reigns in me. And that's the same on every true believer here. Christ, by His Holy Spirit, takes up residence. The devil is cast out. I'm no longer ruled by this dictator. I'm no longer ruled by my sin. And the devil's whispers, oh, just give in to that sin and live for like an animal for the things of this world. Just be governed by your sin. No, no. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the work that He has done, and I believe it was for me, a sinner. And He now has saved me by His amazing grace. I'm a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things, they pass away, don't they? And behold, new things, a new creation in Christ. It doesn't mean I never will sin again. It means the deadlock of sin is broken, and I've got Christ and His Holy Spirit that now rule in my life. I have His good government in my life, His gracious, loving, merciful, tender government that creates in me and you this desire to live for Him, to read His word, to pray, to assemble together, to live for Him, to live for the matters of eternity. I'm wise at the salvation. I was blind, but now I see. I see Jesus. I see everything that He's done. Do you see Jesus? Has the scales dropped from your eyes? Has a strong man been cast out, and you see Jesus for who He is? The Savior. Your Savior. Your obedience. Your righteousness. Do you see Him? Do you see how much He loves you, cares for you? Do you hear His call today? Don't go on thinking that you can try to be a Christian in your own strength. It's just not going to work. I've tried it for years. It will not happen. You will become miserable. You will find that the devil will keep on. The devil will just keep on being the ultimate antagonist, as it were. You must have Christ. You must have His good government reigning, dear friends, in your heart and soul. Jesus Christ will refurbish the house of the heart and the soul. He will give you a heart to love Him through His finished work on the cross of Calvary. He will give you the house of your heart a deep clean, as it were. His blood, His holy, sinless blood will cleanse your Adam-tainted blood. A deep clean He will give. His Holy Spirit, when He will put it within you. The new gracious, loving landlord, dear friends, will cast out the dictator, dear friends. The dictator who ruled over you, made you just to live for temporary things, carnal things. You'll have the gracious landlord of the universe in you. And dear friends, He will put a new song in your mouth, even praise unto our God. He will do that. And you will become a new creature in Christ. You will grow in Christ. Don't believe, dear friends, the lies of the devil. Don't trust in the devil's words, man's words. Trust in God's words. Christ has spoiled the devil's house. He can turn out the devil's house, dear friends. He can turn you from the power of the devil to the power of God.
Friends, if you do not have Christ reigning upon the tablet, the table of your heart, in living for Him, you are still in your sins. Dear friends, you're still under His power if Christ isn't first in your life. If you're not with Christ, dear friends, you're against Him. If we will not gather with Christ, we will scatter. We will be scattered with the enemy, won't we? And so, dear friends, be reconciled to your Maker. Believe in Christ, dear friends. Believe in His love and His grace and His mercy to you. That when He died for you. That He is able to subdue and to disarm the devil and cast him out of you and put His Holy Spirit in you and to save you by His grace and by what He has done on the cross of Calvary and to make you whole again in Himself. Amen. Thank you.